Previously on the audio files.
We were playing a nightclub in Dover, Delaware. It's a place called Cadeau's. Al Cadeau, rest in peace. We were very popular in this area. One of the nights we were there, before we played in the afternoon, someone broke into the club and wrote their name next to my head on all the posters in lipstick. It's a real Glenn Close moment.
I'm not going to be ignored.
Chins up, boobs out. It's showtime.
Time for music.
Civilized conversation.
Wherever the music takes me, kitten.
Scott Edward Phelps.
Ah, yes, the legendary wit, or at least half of it.
Dave Simmons.
Good evening, Dave.
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Tell you right out, I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to...
The most important music show ever.
Cue inspirational music.
The Audio Files.
Listen to the band.
Listen to the band.
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 Coming up this week on the old program, Beyonce and country music purists duke it out. Wink, wink. Put a pin in that and stand by. Cheryl and Billy offer full frontal new. Just new, that's all, and shame on you for thinking otherwise. And of course, to ban or not to ban?
Banned!
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 Not! We're going to go all the way around with it. But first up, two guys who know tunes, talking tunes the whole time, keeping it timely and topical as we offer up the latest news on the top of the charts.
News on the
top of the charts.
The audio files.
Let's get this out of the way. If you haven't seen it or heard it already, and mostly heard it, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs win, Taylor Swift makes her way to the field, they're hugging and kissing and smooching and talking. And this is what made me laugh about it. The NFL released the official audio of what they were saying to each other, I guess to dispel rumors and to cut the slack, but to, of course, milk every ounce of publicity out of this thing that they possibly can.
Yes, yes.
And because it's Taylor Swift,
she's good for business. You can't deny it.
Well, here we are talking about her, so there's that. So we want, and this is not a setup. This is the honest to gosh actual audio that the NFL released of the two of them speaking to each other as they were hugging and smooching there on the field after the Super Bowl victory.
Thank you for coming, baby.
I can't believe that.
Thank you.
I can't believe you.
Thank you for the support.
How do you?
Thank you for coming. Thank you for making it across halfway across the world. You're the best, baby.
Oh my God.
The absolute best. Was it electric?
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. And if you missed that last little shot, he asked her, he said, wasn't it electric? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, it's unbelievable. So it was electric for her.
Yes.
I liked her years better when she was in the acoustic days. I know. But there's never done it. And that's, it's sweet. You know, that was real nice. He was really sucking up big time to her.
Well, you know, she's a billionaire.
And
it's a, I would suck away.
What's the old expression? He must be hitting that. All right, and here's just another piece of news, which is neither here nor there, but we dare to be different around here. Coming up in a couple of days, James McCartney, the 50-ish son of Paul McCartney, is releasing another album, and a single has dropped. It will be released, I think, in 2 days. I went looking for the single because usually we can find those things online. It hasn't been made available, but there was one sneak preview because he apparently released a tweet or a little TikTok something or other, and this is a sneak preview. It's about 10 seconds of his first single. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is going to sound like it's a setup for two reasons, but it's not. I promise you. It's James McCartney. It's his new song. It's called Beautiful. It will be released February 23rd. But this little excerpt will show you how he is also not only Paul McCartney's kid, but he's keeping in touch with today's heavyweight singer-songwriters and influenced with his own work. The song is called Beautiful.
Beautiful for being my baby.
All right, I added the end piece there, but
I just have one thing to say. Shame on us for thinking Sean Lennon was the least talented of all the Beatles kids.
You know what it sounds like?
Shit.
That's what it tastes like. You know what it sounds like?
What?
Honest to God, it sounds like Bruno Mars.
No,
it sounded just like Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars has talent.
Well, no. I know, but I'm talking about listen one more time and pretend it's Bruno Mars. Forget the quality of the work, but I mean the sound of it and all. Listen to it again.
Beautiful for being my baby.
That's a Bruno Mars melody.
Beautiful.
And of course, the big Billie Eilish finish, which everybody's tacking onto their music now.
No, I can't even say James McCartney and Bruno Mars in the same sentence.
All right. Well, I took care of that for you. All right. One of last week's top stories got a little more mileage this week. Just enough mileage to qualify it for this week's Last Week This Week.
Last Week This Week.
All right. We talked about Beyoncé. I always wanted to have Beyoncé be my fiancé, just so I could say, meet my fiancé Beyoncé.
Julie and I call her Bonce. We just totally mangle her name because it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
So what's Bonce up to right now?
Well, it's not her. It's an association. Check it out. We revealed last week, it was national news when she was on the Super Bowl commercial and blah, blah, and announced that her album was coming out March 29th. The album is called Act Two, and it's got some country songs on it. She's wearing a cowboy hat now. And we played a fairly lengthy excerpt from that. But if you weren't with us last week, first of all, what the hell's the matter with you? Second of all, let's bring ourselves up to date. This is a little piece of that piece that we played.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now. Woo! There's a tornado. In my city. In the basement. That shit ain't pretty. Rugged boots. Sonogenic. Photogenic. Shoot.
All right. Now, the remainder of the story and the freshness of this week's part of it has to do with, it's more of a boneheads in the news kind of thing.
Boneheads in the news.
I'm a good old boy. You know my mama loved me.
Appearing on some podcast somewhere, I don't know where it wasn't with us, and in response to a host's question about, quote,
what do you think about these lefties in the entertainment industry who are trying to seize control over every aspect of everything, unquote.
The guest, and this is from the blurb because I love this shit, the actor and country singer, John Schneider. That's right, the other half of Tom Wopat and John Schneider, one of the cutting-edge great American singer-vocalists of all time, answered, this was his answer to that question.
Get them Duke boys.
Yeah. Boss Hog lives. This was his answer to the question, what do you think about them lefties in the industry seizing control of everything? Quote from John Schneider. Well, they got to make their mark, you know, just like a dog in the dog walk park. You know, every dog has to mark every tree, right? So that's what's going on there, unquote. Now, if you don't like Beyoncé and you don't like where the music's going, then do what respectable, intelligent, highly articulate people like Dave and myself do and just trash it politely and respectfully, right, and say, this really blows, but it blows.
Well, we trash the song, not a political movement.
Not only that, what the idiot has done, and I use the word idiot with all due respect, Mr. Dennett, he's basically comparing Beyoncé to a dog taking a leak on a tree in a dog walk park. Mm-hmm. John, Bubala, let me just say two words to you, buddy. Jay-Z. And he knows people.
Yes.
And I mean that like this. He knows a guy. Okay? How stupid. And know what? I'm going to use the adjective because I'm trying to cut back on the harsh words, but I'm going to say it. How fucking stupid
yes.
do you have to be to compare Jay-Z's wife to a dog taking a leak in a public park? Just thought I'd bring it up.
You know, the one problem I have with Beyoncé doing this crossover song.
Oh, when Lionel, two,
well, I'm not talking about the fact that the song sucks. The crossover doesn't seem natural. Like when Lionel Richie wrote the country song, it kind of was a natural because it sounded like Lionel Richie.
It sounds like it's contrived for commercial purposes,
right? The Beyoncé thing is it sounds like a publicity stunt.
Yeah,
that's all it is to me.
Yeah,
you know. Which, you know, there have been several artists that have crossed over, you know,
it's really,
Taylor Swift.
But she started in Nashville under the wing of country people. Tim McGraw got her started,
she evolved out of it
the other way, kind of like Miley, same thing with Miley
too.
I mean, her father's Billy Ray Cyrus, for God's sake. This is just musical slumming.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with how, and I'm going to say it again, how fucking stupid John Schneider is. You don't compare Beyonce to a dog taking a leak, you dumb hick asshole.
Scott Edward Phelps, Dave Simmons.
Oh, the weather outside was whitening, till the dog did something frightening. He's got no other place to go.
The Audiophiles.
Yellowstone, Yellowstone, Yellowstone.
That's a pisser. All right, John Lennon once said, music is everybody's possession. All right. And while that's a lofty enough platitude, it fails to take into account another human truth. Not everybody wants to let everybody decide for themselves what to possess, and there's always somebody who doesn't want anybody to hear what that somebody believes to be inappropriate for that somebody, or anybody else for that matter. So, for the next few moments, join us while we share a few examples of what somebody's decided was a negatory good buddy for anybody and everybody as we listen to the band Songs and Singers Declared Verboten.
Band.
Can't touch this.
Turn that thing on.
I forbid it.
You can't touch this.
It should not be allowed.
Forbidded it.
Can't touch this.
I said turn that thing on.
Forbidden it.
Can't touch this.
Band.
Band.
Can't touch this.
Songs and there's appropriate singers having been banned through the years. Dave starts it off with one. Here's the what. He'll explain the why momentarily. Those of you without closed captioning, I'm pretty sure the title of the song was I Want Your Sex. And that goes back, hell, that's, what, the 80s?
84, I think.
So damn near 40 years.
Yeah. Here's the thing. When we're talking about banned songs, in today's context, people today don't really, the young kids today, I'm not talking about people like us that were around then, you don't realize that this was 10 years before he came out of the closet, so nobody thought he was gay.
Right.
And he did the video, if you remember the video with the Asian model.
Right.
And it was very suggestive. So this song was banned by the BBC.
Right.
At that point in time, it was one of the few songs that had the word sex in the title.
Right.
And you know, that was when AIDS was coming up. You know, BBC said they were concerned that the song was promoting casual sex at a time when AIDS was of great concern. So, you know, if somebody put out a song today called I Want Your Sex, nobody would think twice.
Well, it just turns out that we're doing both of Dave's band selections here first up, and we're waiting a little while later in the show because what I want to do, what I went looking for was putting together a little mini package to make the point Dave is making right now and to do some A-B comparisons about what was once considered, oh my God, you can't play it on the radio. That would be put probably on Nickelodeon now,
right?
Compared to the stuff that gets away with and nobody's banning. But yeah,
right. And he had just left one of the biggest. This was his first single after he left Wham, which was one of the biggest bands in the world.
For those of you unfamiliar with that group, it was a duo. It was Wham. They were better known as George Michael and
Andrew Ridgely
and that other guy.
You know, they Wake Me Up Before I Go-Go. But they had a lot of hits. And
you know, somebody has missed a bet, by the way.
What?
That's one of those songs. As a former commercial jingle writer of some success, my ear is always attuned to the idea of these, you know, like Good Vibrations for Sunkissed Orange mm-hmm. Juice and all that many years ago. Why nobody has gone after that to use Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go as a thing for incontinence drugs of some kind.
Well, that
is perfect. Yeah. It's a perfect fit.
Dunkin' Donuts could use it. But
well, that's
but yeah, so that's you know, in that time period, even though the '80s were considered, actually the Delaware Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is calling me, one of the things about that, even though the '80s were forward from the '70s and '60s and '50s, they were still, if sex was in the title, your song was getting banned.
Yeah, it was a thing that you might read about it in Google or Wikipedia, kids, because it doesn't exist anymore. It's extinct. It's morality.
Yes.
Look up the word morality.
Yes.
Okay, not that we were. Well, he said he wants your sex. So what? He didn't say, hey, let's fuck, baby, but that's what he was saying.
Right.
But at
right.
least he had the class and culture. This is the silliness of it. But this is not new.
Also the same time when all the trials, or not to try, the hearings were going on in the Senate about the content, the lyrical content.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
yeah.
Is that Tipper Gore?
Tipper Gore, yes. Yeah. We've got a Tipper Gore mention.
Can you imagine a hip and groovy guy like Al married for 30 years to a clearly uptight young lady by like Tipper Gore?
Well, I never thought Al was hip and groovy. I'm sorry.
On a scale of one to not.
On a scale of Tipper Gore, yes, he is hip and groovy, but on a normal scale, no, he's not.
All right. Speaking of Ben and by the BBC, a few years earlier than George Michael and his ode to gender and sex, here's a song that's an icon. You'll know the song instantly. This particular piece is actually including an interview by the author, and here's the short version of the story, and then Dave will elucidate and elaborate on it. 1967, Sgt. Pepper came out. This song was on it for reasons which are obvious if you were there or been there through the years, you know. If not, here's some fun news for you. There was some problem with one of the songs, and in terms of it being played on the radio. John and Yoko did a little guest appearance on a talk show called The Dick Cavett Show, hosted by a guy named Dick Cavett, very cleverly titled. Look it up on the Wikipedia, kids. And they were talking about it, and this is like early 70s, so at best 5 or 6 years after Pepper had been released, so still fairly recent, and the controversy, such as it was still going on. So like any reasonably intelligent interviewer of the day, Dick Cavett brought up the question, ergo.
Has it ever been settled whether Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was a code for anything?
It never was, and nobody believes me. I even saw some famous star introducing a Lennon McCartney show with Mel Torme saying about how Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is about LSD. This is the truth. My son came home with a drawing and showed me this strange-looking woman flying around. I said, what is it? He said, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And I thought, that's beautiful. I immediately wrote a song about it. Uh-huh. The song had gone out, the whole album had been published, and somebody noticed that the letters spelt out LSD. And I had no idea about it. And, of course, after that, I was checking all the songs to see what the letters spelt out. They didn't spell out anything, none of the others, and it wasn't about that at all. But nobody believed.
This is another one of those things from the period. You have to remember and keep these things in context. That 1967 was the release within a few, and it wasn't immediately.
No.
That didn't come out until the late 60s, the very early 70s, with all this great brouhaha, Tempest in a Teapot.
Well, what year did Nixon, was that 68?
Nixon, what
year? Would became Nixon? President?
68.
68.
Well, 69, technically. He was elected in 68.
68, yeah. I mean, the Nixon administration were very religious and
well,
hard
they
on
were
drugs.
They were for what in the day was considered to be hardcore right wing.
Right wing, yes.
Boy, oh boy, would they be shocked today?
But the funny thing is, you know, the LSD reference that doesn't exist, that the BBC just kind of made up. that was one of three songs from Sgt. Pepper that were banned. A Day in the Life was banned because of the McCartney line, woke up, had a smoke, went into a dream, middle section. And Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, because of the Henry the Horse line.
The British in those days, for many generations, had been. And the British were still very much stiff upper lip, stick up your ass kind of stuff going on. Banned by the BBC almost became like an honorable distinction for artists. If they achieved that, they'd really made it.
Forget
number one on the Billboard chart. We've been banned by the BBC, baby.
But, yeah, so that was that was a moment in time where a lot of drug references, I mean, the famous Doors story on the Ed Sullivan Show where, girl, you couldn't get much higher, you know, and he told him, don't say hi.
Well, it was
say
a family shoe, with a family.
So, of course, Morrison looks right at the camera and says, girl, I couldn't get much higher. And then they said Ed Sullivan was yelling, you'll never be on the Ed Sullivan Show again. And they said, that's all right. We've already done it.
That's right. You'll never work in this town again.
But, yeah, there were a lot of songs being banned at that time for drug references.
I'll tell you a little story. Not a little story. I'll tell you a little quick opinion of mine, though. I've never, and this is me, and I was there, the Beatles were my guys. We all grew up together.
Right.
Okay. I've never bought Lennon's full denial of that. Okay. I think it's perfectly possible that Julian brought home the picture in the story, but I think the whole.
Well, Julian says the story's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And again, I've never questioned that, and nobody.
Cause she just, it. She recently died. Lucy, the one.
Yeah.
The
song. Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying the imagery and all I'm saying is that it may have been a grammatical coincidence that Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds spells out LSD. Right. But it's, the imagery of the lyrics, I think Lennon's total. No. It had absolutely nothing to do with drugs. Nothing at all. It's kind of like when Jimmy Webb was interviewed some years ago and the interviewer was asking him about MacArthur Park. And he just looked at him straight across the microphone and said, let me ask you a question. He said, did you ever write songs getting stoned? Were you stoned when you were writing songs? And Jimmy Webb, Oklahoma boy, good old Midwest Oklahoma boy, leaned into the microphone and said, someone left the cake out in the rain. Okay. I can see the ice is melting. He goes, you don't get that from iced tea, buddy. So I think that the whole Lennon doth protest too much, just a little bit. That's more of my pride.
The only leeway I'm giving him is he loved to play with words.
Sure.
I mean, if you read In His Own Right, his first book.
Yeah, he was a big Lewis Carroll fan. Yeah, Jabberwocky Alice in Wonderland. But again, the imagery is a drug. It's a trip. I think it's cool. I thought it was cool enough for 60 years. Me too.
Now, but, being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, all the lyrics came from that poster. You look at that poster, every line's on there.
Yeah, but there's nothing salacious in that lyric.
Henry the horse is heroin, so.
Well, now then we get back to the famous Peter, Paul, and Mary story where Peter Yarrow got crap for writing Puff, taking, the smoke, the magic dragon, drag in, like smoking the cigarette, Honnelly in the morning light. And he went on Johnny Carson at that time and gave the great thing when Johnny says, okay, are you going to fess up or what? And Peter Yarrow said, Johnny, I'm here on national television tonight to tell you it's absolutely true. I wrote Puff the Magic Dragon about marijuana and smoking marijuana, but I'm here tonight to tell you there's another song that people need to know about because it's the same thing. It's drug-induced lyrics. Oh, say can you see, C for cocaine, by the dawn's early light, dawn being the time most junkies shoot up. Mm-hmm. And he went on line by line and did exactly the same thing, which is just like, okay, for heaven's sakes. The irony of the Muggle thing with music stuff like this to me has always been, it's what in Tennessee they refer to as picking fly shit out of pepper.
Yes.
With all the things that are, and especially these days, all the things that are genuinely profane and obscene and oh my God and repulsive and all that, they're picking this shit apart or were then.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Sure. The whole world's going to start loving each other and be kumbaya as soon as we get that nasty song that sort of spells out LSD off the radio.
I don't think they ban any songs anymore.
No, we'll get to that in a minute. Right now, a little break on that subject though, as we've been a little remiss with the stuff we've been doing. We got a couple of new songs to offer up and catch up and talk a little bit about. We say, hey, what's new?
What's up?
What's up? What's all the hubbub?
A couple of singles of note. This one in the last less than a week, it just came up. Thought play a little excerpt, then we'd have a little chit chat. You'll recognize the voice. It's our girl, man. It's Sheryl Crow.
Well, I've read some Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra too. They say when you go pointing fingers, you get three pointing back at you. I'm doing the best I can.
All right. It's nice to hear Cheryl. By the way, the official complete versions of those, not shortened for time purposes, will be available as always on the sister podcast, the Audio Files, which is available wherever you get this podcast. Here's my unasked for. Here's my opinion. It's Sheryl Crow.
It sounds like
Sheryl Crow.
It
sounds like All I Want to Do. It sounds like a change is going to come. It sounds like Sheryl Crow.
She has a style.
There's a Sheryl Crow metronome.
Yep.
It's right on the money and good for her. But there's nothing new going on here.
No. She has a style, and it's a palatable style, unlike Billie Eilish. But it's
I don't know, Billy.
I like Cheryl Crow.
I do too. I wasn't putting it down. All I'm offering is that if you're looking for groundbreaking, exciting new, oh my gosh, this is Cheryl Crow's rubber soul. No, it's just Cheryl Crow.
Makes you happy.
There you go.
Sing it again.
Then why the hell are you so sad? Well, it's because they banned Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. All right. Got another one. And then for me, I'll hedge the bet by telling you my review right now. It's the same story. It's a great artist. He's been very busy doing lots of things for years. It's been a long time since he released any fresh new pop music, but there ain't nothing new going on here either. Although it's the magic sounds of Billy Joel.
Please open the door. Nothing is different. We've been here before. Pacing these halls, trying to talk over the silence. I'm late, but I'm here right now. Though I used to be romantic, I forgot somehow. Time can make you blind, but I see you now as we're
the instant appearance of the orchestra. I've always loved Billy Joel's musical chops. His chord changes almost always go where you don't quite expect them to go, and that's what makes it fresh and interesting.
Top notch writer. I think I've done session work for Joe, the River of Dreams, his River of Dreams producer.
Right.
He played me an unreleased track. Played all of us that night, an unreleased track of Billy Joel's that has never been heard by the public, and it was phenomenal, a lot better than that. I don't know why I didn't just go back to Joe and say,
well, the subject matter of the song, it's his return. I turn the lights back on. In other words, I'm back, baby. And the whole lyric, if you read it or listen to it intently, lyrically speaking, that's what he's saying.
Right.
I come on back, and he threw it out there in the suits and all the rest of that. And I mean, and it's fine, and it's nice to hear from him again. He's been writing, I think he's been composing classical music for the last few years.
Nice.
Yeah, that's good.
He's an amazing talent. I saw a review, Liberty DeVito, who was his longtime drummer.
Right.
I saw he reviewed the track, and he liked it a lot, and he said that the percussionist that he had play on there is a great player. He said, I probably would have played it different, but that's just me. And he said it doesn't take it away from anything that's been done.
Yeah, and for the record, my comment about it is based on this. What I'm doing is, besides being me, I gotta be me. Besides being me, I'm splashing a little lemon juice on that. I read within 2 days when this thing was dropped, and I hate that expression, dropped.
Mm-hmm.
When it was released, you release singles, okay? You drop babies. How many times do I have to straighten you people out? You'd have thought that it was Sergeant Pepper meets, Jimi Hendrix, great, Axis Bold as Love. You'd have thought it was the second coming. For God's sake, man, it's a Billy Joel song. It's well done. It's Billy Joel. There's nothing new going on. It's the same thing with Sheryl Crow.
Yeah. Waited 30 years or however long it's been since he put something out new.
Yeah. It's not like Billy Joel opened Al Capone's safe.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But there's a reference you can look up this week. That's what I'm just saying. So calm down, everybody. It's good music.
Nice.
But there you go.
Dave Simmons, The Audio Files.
Engine number 9.
Oh, my gosh. Must be time for Hey, Dave.
Dave Simmons.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. What you got? What's up?
Mm-hmm. All right. Dave's got some story to tell and music to go with it. You want the music first?
Go ahead and lay it down.
Okay.
Don't
I'll tell you one thing.
You love the lyrical content, don't you?
I do. I flash back on at least two of my five marriages with that.
Well, what we did there, that was a song off of Enjoy the Buffet. We basically needed one more song for the album. We all sat in a room. Somebody came up with that riff. I was just playing around on the drums. Chris happened to start singing My Whole World Just Makes No Sense to Me in the chorus. Mm-hmm. So we decided to turn it into a rap song, and it was done in 2 seconds. It's not a great song. It's not a good song, but being banned, I figured I would play something that would have been banned back in those days. Now, here's the interesting thing. We were contacted by a company called Quickstar Productions, and they do compilation albums. They're out of...
That sounds totally legit.
Well, they're actually out of Baltimore, and it's a legit company. They basically say, hey, you want to be on our compilation album? And then you're like, yeah, sure. Then they send you this contract. You have to pay them $175 to be on the compilation
album.
And
there it is.
So, but part of the profits go to, you know, this particular album that we were on went to World Hunger. So we sent the contract back and said, we signed it and said, you can use the song. We're not paying you a cent. But if it's going to help World Hunger, use the song. Now, we were regionally popular.
Sure.
We had pull. They knew we would sell records with us just being on it. And it was a song we didn't give two shits about anyway, to be perfectly honest with you.
No, what it is well done is everything you guys do. I mean, there's quality to the work. And again, there's nothing new going on there.
Right, right.
You used some words that got the kids' attention. That's
well, yeah. I mean, the one thing that I asked, I said, I don't know how us yelling fuck is going to help World Hunger, but if it does, it does. but this is also a cautionary tale for young artists. Don't pay somebody to put your music on a compilation because they're just going to throw it on there, not promote it, take your money.
Yeah.
You know, and if they have 30 songs on there at $175, that's $5,200 and change.
There, you know, there's a broader lesson there too. All of my years in Nashville, I came across that kind of stuff early on, but luckily I had some people who mentored me who were very experienced and taught me. It's a very rare occasion, actually, for in any kind of music genre or any kind of performing arts, as it were. You should, if you're dealing with totally 100% pristine, upright, upstanding, get it done, do good business, and et cetera, you should, I won't say never, but 99.9 times out of 100, you should never have to be putting up any kind of money at all.
No, if you have talent and they're interested in you, they should be paying you for your talent, not the other way around.
And if not literally paying you cash money, then working with you on a contractual basis and you get a profit. In other words, like a business, like a real business. When they say, you know, hey, I do your record label for you there, $5,000 for the session, and you know, and then you get to, you know, it's Mr. Haney with in the trunk of the car. Okay.
Yeah. So we basically, you know, scratched out the $175 and said, feel free to use our song on your compilation if you were not paying you a penny.
There you go.
And lo and behold, it ended up on the compilation. So it was
money well spent.
But I venture to say the other 29 artists probably paid the $175 to be on there. So that's
the infamous GoFundMe page is up to almost $1 million today. I'm not going to mention who, but I think we know what we're talking about. So suckers and their money, fools and their money are still, it's traditional.
Yeah. And by the way, Scott, I like your new sneakers, your new golden sneakers. They're really nice.
I've ordered the clown shoe version of that one. All right. Back to banning stuff. I said I wanted to do something a little different with the banning and show you a little AB stuff. It's all part of 6 Degrees this week.
6 Degrees of SEP.
And what I did here is did a little montage, mini montages you'll see as I do this first one here. I'm going to take a song that was banned for whatever the reasons were, and you're going to hear just a little snippet. Then you're going to hear a fast forward to a current or contemporary song. And I did the run through this morning, and there was some confusion. So let me make sure everybody understands. Three times here, and the first one will probably explain it all, and then we'll do two more after that real quick. You're going to hear a snippet of a song, which I'll give you a very brief introduction as to what it is. Then you're going to hear me explain a little transition, and then you'll hear the sound of a fast forward and another song. It's not a new version of the first song. It's two different songs each time. An older song that was banned for whatever reason, a relatively current, if not brand new song that is playing on the airwaves that has not been banned and there will not be any banning, and now you'll get the idea. January 1951. Well, let me just play the song because I forgot where the hell the damn thing is. Gotta press the right button. I'm going to do this right. I worked on this. Oh, here it is. This song actually was a blues tune written by Sister Rosetta Tharpe. Now, if you're a history music geek, you know that she was a blues artist. She was a nun of sorts in the, I guess, Baptist church or something. She was a pioneer, mm-hmm. not only of female performances, but of writing the blues. And she wrote this song, and it had been recorded two or three times before January of 51. This version was by a young chanteuse named Millie O'Brien, who did the song and then kind of disappeared into obscurity. But once again, this one was banned. It's called Four or Five Times.
Banned!
Banned.
Four or five times. Four or five times. There's a light in doing things right. Four or five times. Maybe I'll sigh. Maybe I'll cry. But if I die.
Now, fast forward to 2012 and the romantic tones of Nicki Minaj.
Not.
This and I piss on bitches. You can suck my dick if you take this distance. You don't like them distance. Get my ass some kisses. Yeah, they know what this is. Your bitch is the business. You a stupid how. 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 Yeah, you a stupid how.
For those of you playing our game at home, the name of that song was Stupid Ho by the chanteuse Nicki Minaj. So in 1951, the ever so very slightly intimation that the young lady was singing four or five times, as in getting it on and or climaxing, as it were,
yes,
got banned. Get out of here, slimy stuff today. And Minaj is Stupid Ho. That was 10 years ago. So
well,
that's
you, you know what I think when she goes, you a stupid ho, whoop, you a stupid. I think whenever the police arrest a woman, that should be the siren. You a stupid hoe. Whoop, you a stupid hoe. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Well, here's the thing. Not only was it not banned, that song, and this is 12 years ago with Nicki Minaj, it went top 20 hip hop. It cracked the top 60 in Billboard. And the word is that Trump has offered to pay the licensing fee if Nikki Haley will use it for her campaign song. All right, May 1954, the Drifters did a song called Honey Love. It was banned. Oh, my gosh.
I need it. I need it when the moon is bright.
Banned.
I need it when you hold me tight. I need it in the middle of the night. I need your honey love. I want it when the lights are low.
Fast forward to 2020 and a ladylike rapper by the name of Kaya.
Pop your pussy like this. Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. Just do it.
Bend.
Not.
Do it now. Lick it good. Suck this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back. Lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back. Lick my pussy and my crack.
Now, I have to use this pun because it was just too good to pass up. That song, believe it or not, My Neck, My Back, it almost cracked the Billboard Top 40. And honest to God, did. And it was top 10 worldwide. Not only not banned.
The first time I heard that, I was in a strip club in Miami.
Well, but you should expect that serious? Kind of thing in a strip club in Miami. But this is the kind of thing they would play at Elks clubs. Nobody would think twice about it. Oh, my God. And yet the poor Drifters got banned for singing about Honey Love. I want your honey love.
Can I tell you I love that song?
Honey Love?
No.
Oh, my neck, my back. Well, of course you did. Somehow I knew that it was in your Hall of Fame. All right. Lastly, but not leastly, a big name entertainer for many decades before his passing, Dean Martin. Everybody, among other things. In April of 1952, he had a song that was banned because it was considered, well, you'll see when you hear, followed by one that, fast forward 20 plus, well, actually 60 years later, not banned so much. This is Dean Martin and his backup boys.
Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. I hope you're satisfied.
Banned. Banned.
I never knew what love would do until I saw you smile. And when I did, I flipped my lid and nearly went plumb wild. But now I know I'll never show my love to anyone. Cause when I'm banned.
Now, 60 years later, fast forward, Cardi B.
Banned? Not.
Yeah, you're fucking with some wet ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop. Put this wet ass pussy. Give me everything you got. Put this wet ass pussy. Beat it up, nigga, catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top, I wanna ride. I do a kegel, what is inside? Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. This pussy is wet, come take a dive.
There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house. There's some whores in this house.
All right, here's my question. I'm offended by that song, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly where it offends me. What the hell does a credit card have to do with anything?
Well, he said swipe your nose like a credit card in her.
Yeah, I get it. Like a scanner. Oh, that's just, but wouldn't that cause a terrible burn of some, or slice, paper cut of some kind? Now, here's the thing about that.
It's catchy.
It's called Wet Ass Pussy. It's literally known as WAP, for the letters, get it? Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, LSD, Wet Ass Pussy, WAP. But this is the thing, and I didn't know this about this till I did my little research on this song. This is from 2011, Cardi B. It received widespread acclaim from music critics for its, quote, sex-positive message and for empowering women. Rolling Stone, several other publications, get ready for this, including NPR.
Oh, really?
Ranked this as one of the best songs of the year 2020.
Wow.
Because of its liberating. Can you see? Now, here's what I tried to do in my brain. A strange and mystical place. I thought, okay, you know, every generation's different. I get it. And this is like generations, 20 years, 60 years. That's three generations later that they're doing this. It's one thing to say, well, okay, you can get away with a lot of shit now you couldn't get away with back in the 50s. But to say that it was one of the best songs and it should rank and something. And I'm trying to think and picture, aurally speaking, not orally, aurally. That was Cardi B. I'm doing it right now. I can't do it. I'm trying to hear Rosemary Clooney. I'm trying to hear Judy Garland. I'm trying to hear fucking Rosa Parks on the bus chanting wet ass pussy and singing about credit cards.
It is empowering. It really is empowering.
I'm way too old for this shit.
Scott Edward Phelps.
Bend.
Bend.
Dave Simmons.
Bend.
Bend.
The Audiophiles.
Bend.
Not.
Bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. I hope you're satisfied.
What kind of radio show is this?
Well, I think we all know the answer to that question. All right, we got a fun new little segment. I think we're going to do this each and every week. This is new and fun. We call it, it's time for this week's dedication.
This is my dedication.
Today we salute you.
This is my dedication.
And what's it all about? Well, you'll understand in just a minute. Each week we're going to pick a fun little news story that may or may not have anything to do with music whatsoever, but we're going to dedicate a song to the person in the story for some accomplishment or some interesting, rare thing they've done or unique, kicking it off. A lady by the name of Michelle Klein lives in Florida. She says that her kids were expelled from school because she has an OnlyFans decal on her vehicle. The sticker promotes her page on OnlyFans. Kids, if you don't know what OnlyFans, well, parents, I should say, if you don't know what OnlyFans is ask your kids.
Yes.
Okay. It's an adult site, okay, with dumb adult material on it. This lady, Michelle Klein, said, quote, "My husband and I have this little wild behind closed doors lifestyle we've decided to share. The school took umbrage." Here's the first funny part. The school, wait for it, the Liberty Christian Preparatory School, where her kids go.
Okay.
They did not seem to approve. One parent said, "That's a distraction to my children, and no matter how poorly or how good I parent, porn is there." Another school official said that they actually sat down with Mrs. Klein and explained to her the circumstances, and she left the meeting and went home and got an even larger sticker and slapped it on her truck or her car.
What's Mrs. Klein look like?
She's happily married, man. She and her husband I don't know. I don't want to know.
Cause we might have to do some OnlyFans investigating.
Yeah, you take care of that. Get back to me on that. See, I don't want to know, and I'll tell you why. A real quick story that has nothing to do with music. Sometimes just the imagery alone should suffice. There's an old adage, don't ever meet your idol because they'll break your heart. I was living, and this is, I'll make the short version of this story, in one of my in-between marriage states in my checkered past. I was living in an apartment building that was kind of modeled like the Holiday Inns with the two floors, but it was interior. You had to go up the stairs on the outside and into the hallway, either mm-hmm. downstairs or upstairs. So there was at least, there was one apartment above each of the other apartments. I moved in. I was freshly divorced. I didn't have anything. I had nothing.
Right,
I literally slept on the floor. It was a carpeted floor with a big comforter, but that's where I slept. The very first night I'm in this place, I'm laying with my head on the floor because we had a carpet and heat and all that, but still, right. no furniture. My right ear is on the floor. I'm sleeping. And at sometime around 2 a.m.-ish, I'm awakened by this sound. And it was a female voice. And I have to tell you, the sound of the voice, it was quite erotic.
Very sensual.
Very sensual. Very erotic. Went on for a long time. And your imagination is a wonderful, wonderful thing, a tool. This went on for like four nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, literally, no pun intended. I'm thinking, I don't know what the situation is downstairs there, but I need to find out what's going on. But I didn't seek it out. It's just because I would leave, I'd go back to the end of the hallway downstairs now in the parking lot. One day, a week or so later, I had to, for some reason, visit the office of the apartment building. And in order to do that, the weather was inclement or something. So I went down the stairwell on the outside and then back in the building on the ground floor to go down the hallway to the office. And as I did, I walked past the apartment that was just exactly below mine. And at that precise moment, synchronicity, just coincidence, the door opened and the young married couple stepped out. On their way to something.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was a reasonably looking middle class. He was a blue collar kind of truck driver,
but
not a big burly looking at
him. Yeah.
His wife was about 4'6", and she weighed at least 500 pounds. Now, I'm not fat shaming. I'm just saying my imaginary lady was like a bubble in the bathtub that went. That was the end of that.
Nice.
So then, now I'm faced with having to find headphones or earplugs because at 2 a.m, I'm laying there picturing this very nice, I'm sure, woman. I don't know what the OnlyFans lady
that might have been
like.
Her just trying to get up.
I'm not going there. But Michelle Klein, OnlyFans, you and your husband, this one's for you. I mean, the vision went.
I tell you,
it was over. It was done with. All right, it's time for 2 minutes.
And now.
So how long is this going to take?
2 minutes.
That's right. 2 minutes is a relatively new segment in which I get to score 2 minutes so that it all kind of balances out with the 7 minutes of endorsements that Dave does right after we do 2 minutes. And you know what? I meant to tell you, from here on out, if there are certain kinds, if you have like a history of one of the bands or a lengthier thing and you'd like, it's not just me. 2 minutes is a segment in and of itself.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to periodically do 2 minutes of my other podcasts or 2 minutes of something. If you have some 2 minutes, you know, write to me in care of SCP.
And I'll
put it in front of the committee. But this week, I've been hyping a little bit this memoir that I wrote some years ago called I've Never Heard of You Either.
Great book, by the way.
Thank you. And I've redone it a couple of times. There was a director's cut. It gets into a whole thing. I'm turning it into a podcast/audiobook. The first episode will be posted. I'm willing to say sometime in the first week of March, so in a couple of weeks. I'll let you know for sure. But by way of doing a little promo and a little teasing and a little opportunity for you to hear what it's like, this is from, again, another one of the chapters. I don't remember which episode it is. Doesn't matter. It's all interesting material. Thank you. This has to do with my brief residence in the 1980s with Roy Orbison and his family. I had a little job as a gopher. And this is a little anecdote about what went on there in the Orbison household. When, during the very last couple of weeks that I was involved with them, Barbara took the kids and went to Europe to be with Roy on tour, and basically what I was doing was house-sitting in one of the grand houses of one of rock and roll's pioneers. It's 2 minutes of I've Never Heard of You Either.
You're listening to I've Never Heard of You Either. with Scott Edward Phelps.
The third floor of the house was actually a glorified attic, although in a huge chalet-style home like this, attic does no justice. This room was carpeted and couched and chaired and unusually bright since the backside of the house, the lake-facing side, was from the second floor up, windows from floor to ceiling. But the light of the sun was not the cause of the shine in this room. That glow came from the walls. Circling the room on every wall and on every space that could be utilized without making it seem cluttered were the gold records. Clearly framed and hung with care and love, they were the tangible documentation that this was, in fact, a home where rock and roll history resided.
In dreams, I walk with you.
Oh, pretty woman.
Pretty woman, walking down the street.
Crying. Running scared.
Just running scared.
Only the lonely.
Is your lonely heart.
They were all there. And many more. I wandered around for hours reading, admiring, dreaming, a spellbound visitor to a museum closed to the public.
In dreams, I walk with you.
A fan allowed to view the inner sanctum, to touch the hem of the garment, to play the guitar. Leaning in one corner of the room, between couch and wall, was a Fender Stratocaster whose look and condition easily dated it early 60s. Could this, I asked myself, be the instrument where those killer licks came to life? I picked it up carefully but firmly and brought it to my chest in playing position. I struck the first few notes, da-da-da-da-da. I gently put the guitar back down. No further notes necessary.
I've Never Heard of You Either is based on the book of the same name, available at blurb.com.
That's right. Paper copies available at blurb.com if you want to check the book out. I think the latest director's edition is right there. And again, the podcast will be available wherever you hear this podcast, and it will be, I'm not specific date, but let's say first week of March. I'll let you know next week for sure. And then it'll be a week. Each week there'll be a new episode. The total is going to end up being around 11 or 12 episodes, I think, to do the whole book.
Nice, it'll nice.
It's been a nice, fun project to take care of. So, all right, let's say bye-bye.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Can you move it out of here?
Okay, wrap it up, kid.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The audio files.
Bye-bye.
Dave's a very successful entrepreneur who, late in life, is being recognized by many people who realize the value of his name, and they're giving him all kinds of free stuff. It's cool.
It's really cool. It's actually really cool. I'd like to thank Earl Teat Music, Dean and Dale. You guys are great, always supporting me, helping me whenever I need help, musical instrument-wise.
By the way, Dave's too bashful to tell you this, but both of the Teat guys serve as Dave's AA sponsor, too. So, thanks, guys.
They are awesome. You know, go to earlteatmusic.com, or you can purchase online, or you can go to one of their two locations in Delaware, Dover and Delmar.
Didn't they open for Siegfried and Roy?
Yes.
Over in Delmar?
Yes. Trinity Cymbals, the only cymbals I will use. Robbie and Lynn, thank you guys for all your support. I will be appearing with Bernard Purdy this Sunday, the 25th of February, 2024, depending upon when you listen to this. And at the Delaware Drum Show, I'll be in the Trinity Cymbals booth, just talking cymbals, you know, signing stuff, hanging out with my good friend Bernard Purdy. HHG Drums, Sam and Kevin, you guys are amaze me time and time again with the quality of your work. I wouldn't play any other drums, and I suggest any other drummer out there not play any other drums. And Nia Cox from XS Energy Drinks. If you haven't tried an XS Energy drink, the watermelon lemonade is amazing. That's my energy drink of choice. And hello, Indonesia. Iowa from Solo Beat Drumsticks.
Wasn't that a sitcom right after the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Yes, my signature drumstick through Solo Beat Drums is available in 9 different colors. You can get them online at thesolobeat.com, or you can get them in either one of the Earl Teat Music stores in Delaware.
And he's also too bashful to tell you, or too modest to tell you, that he's working on a 64-stick pack that's got a sharpener in the back.
And March 2nd, I will be at Bally's in Dover, Delaware, Bally's Casino. with Mike Hines and a look, Mike Hines' birthday bash. And the first, I'll be up at Xfinity up at the Wells Fargo Center. I believe it's a Sixers game we're playing the after party for. So look me up.
You're like the Michael McDonald of 2024. You're everywhere.
I am everywhere.
Everywhere and for any price.
Wait a minute. Somewhere back in my long ago. Yes.
What a fool believes. Okay, then. I plug the book. That's all. 45 RPM. If you want to check it out, that's available too, where other podcasts are available as well. And don't forget the sister companion podcast to this one, the Audio Files. Full versions of the songs and a lot of fun there be. Next week, I can tell you, because we've already got it written down, we're going to do something a little fun and out of the ordinary. It's Leap Day. One day next week. The occurrence only occurs every 4 years. This is a leap year year, which means there's a February 29th.
Yes.
So we thought, in keeping with the oddity of it all, what we would do is we would just have some fun with odd songs, novelty songs, some weird shit, and just, you know, but relatable, fun, entertaining stuff. None of that obscure stuff. None of those deep dish Doors cuts that make no sense anyway.
Did you see the leap year coincidences from the last leap year 4 years ago?
No. Are they missing?
No. The Chiefs and the 49ers were in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
The presidential race was Joe Biden, Donald Trump. I mean, it went deep. It's like everything has come back.
Well, I'll tell you the most, I don't want to say star-crossed. That's the wrong expression. The most, and not eerie. I don't know what the adjective is, but suffice to say that it's one of those, it'll be remembered for decades and decades because of its impact on cultural and the timeline. Because of the so many other times that it happened that it just didn't work, and this time it did. But on February 29th, 2012, I got married for the last time.
There you go.
So our anniversary is on February 29th, so we only technically celebrate it every 4 years. In fact, this year would be 12 years in actuality that we've been together. Well, it does. And I've always said that this particular marriage – pardon me, is at 12 years is not only a personal best for me, thank you very much, but it's also a double personal best because it's not only the longest that I have been married of the marriages that I've had, but this is the only marriage that I've had that's lasted this long, and at no time, never once during that 12 years have I ever thought to myself or said out loud, I gotta get out of this fucking marriage no matter whatever else is going on.
So, you know what else happened the day you were married? Davy Jones died.
Well, Davey parted pretty hardy at the reception. I don't mind telling you.
Yeah,
of course, we had the really cheap wedding invitations with the toxic glue, so maybe that had something to do with it too. Anyway, next week, odd songs and two odd guys talking about them. Got anything else?
Got nothing else.
All right, taking it out. Neither one of these songs were ever banned, but in keeping with the spirit,
in the words of Norm Short, I'm out of ideas.
That's always a good thing. I like his honesty, though.
I do. I love Norm.
We had a podcast that lasted about 12 weeks, and then Norm just said, that's it. That's all I got.
Well, love Norm to death.
If Dave or I would finally give in and do that, we'd be done with this shit, too, but that's never going to happen. These two songs, neither one of them were banned, but it's just for fun. A little A-B of what was then and what is now, and you'll get it as we go. I'm Scott Edward Phelps.
I'm Dave Simmons.
And we are the Audio Files.
My boyfriend's back and you're gonna be in trouble. Would you ever be my, would you be my fucking boyfriend?
The Audio Files is produced in the United States of America. Questions, comments, and witty banter welcome. AudioFilesBroadcast@gmail.com.
Hey, when you see it coming, better cut out on the double. Would you ever be my, would you be my fucking boyfriend?
The Audio Files.
Would you ever?